tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 7th of August, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sir Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's Friday. We've reached the end of the week, and the weekend is here. And you know what that means? It means we have a special guest with us today. We have Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing? How's life treating you?
All right. And if it's not all right, you fake it till you make it, which is going to be our theme, I think, for today's story, man. Fake it till you make it. We got lots of lessons to learn today.
We certainly have. One of these lessons might be that you should really hire people on merit, not based on what race or gender they are. And this is a story that's all over the news in Britain. I know other people have covered it, but I think we have to talk about it just because it's a massive news story at the moment. And it's about a black professor. And this black professor has been accused of all sorts of things over the years, plagiarism and lying about things. And people have been arrested for investigating him and asking these questions. Academics have been arrested and accused of hate crimes for asking questions about him. And now, finally, the university itself, Cambridge University, one of the best universities in Britain, is the university that actually took him on and made him into a professor. And he is now being investigated by Cambridge University for his plagiarism. And he has now resigned. And we're going to take a little look at this case today. And we're going to use Breitbart for our source material. The youngest black professor ever at the University of Cambridge has resigned after the institution announced it was finally launching an investigation into allegations of plagiarism, as other claims of potentially fake hate crimes and alleged embellishment of his CV swirl. Erstwhile Professor of Sociology of Education, Jason Arday, at the prestigious University of Cambridge and Jesus College, Cambridge, tendered his immediate resignation overnight, a sudden change in course after months of punchy denials from both the academic and the institution over probity claims that range from allegedly faked publications, alleged thesis plagiarism, to claims of alleged acts of physical intimidation against him. Arday's letter of resignation went long on promoting his own achievements, but fell short of any admission of wrongdoing or an apology, and indeed insisted that this is not the end of my work, it is simply the end of this chapter. Reflecting on his appointment as professor at Cambridge in 2023, Arday claimed, "Thousands celebrated not simply my appointment, but what it represented. That talent, perseverance, and hope can triumph over even the greatest adversity." And he lamented what he described as a campaign of harassment against him since. Well, what it really showed is that Cambridge University are desperate to find somebody black that they could make into a professor. And in order to make somebody black into a professor, they overlooked the fact that he actually wasn't up to being a professor. If you look at the average black IQ in Africa, it's 70. With black Africans that come into the Western civilization, they get better food, they get better education, they're around white people, they're around people that have a higher IQ. White people's average IQ is 100. So the average IQ of black Africans, sub-Saharan Africans in Europe and America is 85. Now, that means there's only going to be a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of black Africans that are actually up to the standard of being a professor. And that means you're not likely to get many black professors. But of course, the universities look at that and they say, well, this must be because of racism. Otherwise, we would have just as many white professors as black professors, because there's no difference. It's only a skin color. Of course, there is a difference. It's not just a skin color. So they have problems actually finding sub-Saharan Africans that merit being awarded with a professorship. So what has happened here, it seems to me, is this person has managed to make it into Cambridge. I think he managed to get into university on a PE scholarship. He was studying public exercise. I forget what the word PE stands for, physical exercise. So he managed to get there on a PE scholarship. And then while he was there, I think he realized that there were all these programs and policies to promote diversity. And I think he saw that he could put himself down for this course and then make and that the university would essentially make excuses for his failures and make him into a professor anyway. And of course, that's not good. I mean, they should be appointing people on merit. But what about the people that were his students that are now discovering that they have been taught by somebody that really doesn't actually know very much at all? I suspect his students probably caught on to this, and perhaps they were part of the people that were questioning him about this. And of course, the BBC, Cambridge University, the left-wing media has called all of this attacks on him, racist attacks on him, when in actual fact, it's just people pointing out that he actually doesn't merit being a professor. And it reminds me of Martin Luther King as well, actually, because his dissertation was plagiarized as well. And that was taken from other people's work. It wasn't actually original work. And that's the main accusation about this, is that he has put other people's work out there and claimed that it was his own ingenuity that created this work. Grandpa, what do you make of this case of DEI here?
I have to applaud this guy's sheer audacity. And I think he's clever in ways that maybe we should give him some credit for. I mean, you know, he's, like you say, he sees the system. They're scrambling, trying to find, and you know, he's just, as the saying goes, you know, hate the game, don't hate the player, you know. And he saw the opportunity and rolled with it and went for years. He got to be a distinguished professor for years before anyone caught on. So, you know, like I said at the beginning, fake it, you know, kind of fake it till you make it. How do they have the nerve to still in this article refer to this university as prestigious? I mean, can you still call it prestigious when, you know, you have a story like this and you see how the place is actually run? I think that we could circle too at looking at the value of these degrees, because we'll get into it, of course, as we go through the story. This guy's dissertation for his PhD and whatnot. And it really tells you that these degrees don't have the value that people still want to assign to them. And I think a good way to compare it, I was thinking of this before we started, a good way to compare it is if you think of these college degrees as being the same as our fiat currency, as our money. You know, our money once had value. Why? Because it was backed by gold and silver, by tangible things. You had, you know, promissory notes. You could technically, if you wanted to, you could take your paper and go down and exchange it for gold if you so desired. And everybody knew that. And so the money held its value. It had a value. These college degrees are the same thing. They once represented, you know, actual value. People, not just anybody, could get into college, you know, not regardless of race. That's irrelevant here. You had to be like at the cream of the cream to get into Cambridge. You know, I mean, to get into just a small college, you had to be several steps above everybody else you went to high school with. To get into Cambridge, you had to be in the top fraction of a percent of those people. You know, there was a tier here. You didn't get into a prestigious university like this unless you were really, really, really capable. And so when somebody emerged from a college or a prestigious university like Cambridge, that had real meaning because everybody understood, well, this person is, this represents this person being the creme de la creme. You already know he's smart. you know this person has high intelligence because that's what's required to get in here. Now you fast forward to today, and just like how now our currency isn't, our money isn't backed by anything. These college degrees aren't backed by anything. They're just pieces of paper. Like I said, it's a joke. They're still calling it prestigious Cambridge. How, on what level is it prestigious? You know, anyone can get into a college of some sort, maybe not Cambridge, but anyone can get into college. And obviously Cambridge is not prestigious because this guy not only got in, but they fell all over themselves to promote him and make it, give him a position. I don't really fault the guy for taking advantage of it. I think there's a lot worse look on the university than it is on our quasi professor, as it were.
Well, yes, he's just giving the people what they want. I think you're quite correct. I think he just spotted an opening there, thought, well, I can fill this. They're looking for black people that want to be at university. They're going to make all these exceptions for me. They will promote me once I get in there. I mean, that's clearly why he became the youngest professor. They wanted to have the youngest black professor ever, even though he's not actually up to the task. I'm sure I might have seen him on a documentary. There's another guy that Dr. Oluwogo or something like that, and he's a speciality in black history, which is, of course, basically just talking about how horrible and mean white people were with colonialism. And I'm sure I've seen him on programs like that, and I can remember thinking that that's definitely a diversity, equity and inclusion hire, just from the way he was responding to questions. So I think quite a lot of people have seen this and been saying, what is this person doing in that position? But anytime anybody questioned him, of course, they were accused of being racist. And you can't blame the guy for taking advantage of it. I mean, I'm surprised there aren't more, to be honest. Getting back to the story here, he wrote, sadly, the years since my appointment have also been marked by an unrelenting level of public scrutiny and personal attacks. While criticism is an inevitable part of academic life, what I have experienced has gone far beyond scholarly disagreement. The relentless accusations, speculation, and public commentary have taken a profound toll on me and on those I love. There comes a point when the personal cost becomes too great. And he's still not admitting that his thesis was just lifted entirely from somebody else. I mean, he's made stories up about writing books, which he hasn't written. He's talked about running 600 miles in 6 days or something equally preposterous like that. He's boasted about doing all these incredible things, being on a television documentary series that was on television before he was actually born, not being able to read and write until he was an adult, all sorts of crazy stuff that he's talked about and said that he's done. And people have simply investigated this and then pointed out that there is questions over it. You know, in fact, they've asked him polite questions. Can you give us some evidence to back this up? I mean, that's all that people have done. I can't recall anybody being racist to him, calling him mean words or anything like that. And yet he makes it out here that it's taken this profound toll on him and on those he loves. And it's personal attacks on him. Well, the police actually dropped the charges against the person, this academic that they went after, who wrote a list of questions, effectively, asking him these questions. And quite clearly, that's not a hate crime. It's just holding somebody up to public scrutiny. If you're going to be a public person, you should be able to be held up to public scrutiny. You should be prepared to answer these questions, not just claim that it's not fair that you're being asked these questions, which is essentially what he's saying here. He's saying it's not fair that he's been asked these questions. He's only been asked these questions because he's black. And that's certainly not the case. Have you heard anybody, whatever race they were, saying something and claiming it was their own idea when you knew that it was somebody else's? You're going to point that out, aren't you? I mean, I should imagine that there are quite a few people that didn't point these things out because they thought, well, he's black and I don't want to appear to be racist. There's probably a lot more people that knew what was going on, and they just kept their mouths shut because they knew that if they had brought this up, they would probably have got the sack and they would have lost their position at the university. That's the stage that we are at now. I can recall doing a podcast with you, Grandpa, a few years ago, and it was about getting more black people or more black students into universities. And it was by a certain point in the 20s, they wanted to have a certain percentage of black people at universities. And if they didn't have them, they were going to have to answer these questions as to why they didn't have these black students, number of black students at university. And of course, they can't say, well, it's because they have a lower average IQ. So they have to come up with some excuse as to why they don't have them, or they have to let them into the university when quite clearly they're not qualified to actually be there. And this is the end result. And I think this is going to be the one of many that we see over the next few years. What do you make of his what he's saying here, Grandpa, about how the fact that it was an unrelenting personal attack on him, which was basically just asking him questions? What do you think of that?
Well, from his perspective, that's probably how he perceives it. What I find interesting is the point you just brought up, you know, having to answer these questions if they don't have this percentage of minority people there. And it just shows again how our societies are structured, you know, around lies, word spells, intimidation. You know, they can't, as you pointed out, they can't very well say, well, because they have generally a lower IQ, you know, by population, because, you know, race is supposed to just be a skin color. But see, why can't you say that? Well, because there's a word spell in place and a dogma in place that says race is skin color. There's no, you know, defining various characteristics for the different race, which is all a lie. It always comes back to, in the societies that we live in the West, especially, that they structure these lies, and everyone knows they're lies, but you're not allowed to go against the dogma. In this story here, you know, what I find more, I don't care what this guy says. From his perspective, he probably interprets it that way because he doesn't like the way it makes him feel. That's irrelevant. What's relevant to me is the fact that the police actually arrested somebody. I mean, maybe they finally dropped the charges, but the process is the punishment, as they say. And you imagine being somebody that, you know, puts forth these questions and asks this guy, well, you know, prove that you've actually done this stuff. Shouldn't be real hard. And you had the bobbies show up and knock on your door, and you got to go through the process of you're being criminally charged and the stress that entails. Why? Because again, the whole society is structured around these stories, these narratives, these lies, and you're not allowed to do anything that goes against that lie. But at the end of the day, they're just word spells. They hypnotize everybody. They say these things over and over, and everybody says, "Oh, well, we're not allowed then. We've got to stay in this framework." And that's what perpetuates it, because all of these people at these universities, in for instance, in this story, what a bunch of cowards. They're all just afraid. They all want to promote. They don't want to step outside of the law, the lie. They all have to protect the lie. They all got to stay within the narrative framework because, you know, they have a position and they want to protect. What a bunch of cowards. And, you know, then it just perpetuates this going on and on. And it's so silly because everybody knows this is a lie. You can read a story like this and there's nothing to investigate. It's obvious what's going on. It's obvious what I think it's more damning for the university than it is this guy. I like I said earlier, I'm not kidding. I applaud the guy for his audacity. He looks at the opportunity to advance himself, you know, and he takes it. I mean, it's like if somebody's standing there say, hey, you want to take this free money? I'm sure, I guess. I'll stick it in my pocket. You know, the sheer audacity, it's more of damning for the university than it is for this guy. Because everybody's afraid. They're all going to promote the lie even with their own silence. And so it just keeps going on. But the universities are no longer prestigious. And that tells me, if this guy was a professor, it tells me these college degrees, and I'll get into it here in a little bit. I'm not going to take up too much time right now. They're not worth the paper they're printed on. They're not. And that is going to become more and more of a reality, I think, more people society-wise coming to that realization that all they've managed to do over the years, just like with the currency, because it's not backed by anything, What has that done? They took off the gold standard on the dollar. Well, the dollars aren't worth anything now. These universities, they've taken all of the standards that backed up and made those degrees worth something, and they're worthless now. I mean, they're absolutely worthless. They're still trying to say, oh, this is a prestigious university, but is it? Really, is it? Because what's that degree backed by? And it's pretty evident from this story. The answer is absolutely nothing.
Well, I think you're right. It's more problematic for the university than it is for him. And really for this whole policy of diversity hiring people purely for diversity brownie points. That's what's at fault here. And you have to spare a thought for this poor academic that was arrested. And you say there, it doesn't matter that they dropped the charges. He was still processed. And that would have meant that all his devices were taken by the police and impounded as evidence. You imagine if you're an academic, all the things that you're studying, all the things that you're working on, it's all going to be digitized. And the police just come in there and take all of it. I mean, that's what he had to put up with. And of course, nobody wanted to go through that. Thankfully, this guy did actually go through it. But there must have been plenty of others at university that knew that this was going on. And they were just too frightened to speak up about it. Arday was the youngest black professor at Cambridge ever at the time of his appointment, aged 37. And his selection was based upon apparently strong CV. Criticism and allegations of plagiarism emerged very quickly after his appointment, but these were ignored or dismissed for years until earlier in 2026, British newspapers published analyses of the then Professor Arday's doctoral thesis. The Daily Telegraph, which pushed this, stated more than 180 separate passages were identical or near identical to another student's thesis. So 180 passages, and yet it's taken them years to discover this. I mean, how many people must have realized this and either not pointed it out because they were terrified of what would happen to them, or did point it out and they were just silenced and it was ignored, the people that were actually pointing this out. It reminds me, I think the youngest professor ever was actually Enoch Powell, who was super intelligent. I guess they were trying to provide a black version of somebody with the intellectual weight as Enoch Powell, and this young Jason Arday was the person that turned up, if I got his first name there correct. And as you say, the other things that are on his CV, we'll get into those in a bit. We have a long list of the things that he actually claimed that were the reasons why he was given this job. But the real reason why he was given this job is simply because he was black. I mean, that's what it boils down to now in Britain. I think they're trying to change things over there in America, especially with Donald Trump. He's talked about getting rid of DEI, but I've seen news reports that it's still going on. It's certainly still going on over here in Britain. Do you know if there's been, if the DEI has actually now been got rid of in America? I mean, we've had plane crashes, helicopter crashes that have been caused by people being hired for their diversity factor rather than their merit factor. Could you speak to that for a little bit, Grandpa, about what's going on in America with DEI at the moment?
Not really. Why do you even bother having this guy on the show? That's what everybody in the audience says. Most things with Trump are to be blunt and a little crude about it, he talks a lot of shit. I mean, for instance, he made a proclamation the other day about, you know, oh, we're going to, he made a proclamation. Let me back up even further. He made a proclamation here a while back. Americans are going to be able to buy these cheap, tiny cars like what they have in Asia. You know, he makes this proclamation. But when you get into it, okay, well, why don't they sell them here now? They sell them in Japan. They sell them in these other countries. Well, because there's all of these regulations in place concerning you have to have 5 million airbags and, you know, however many point seat belts and crash tests and all this. And there's no way those little cars will pass. So his proclamation doesn't actually mean anything. And I think the DEI stuff is much the same. He makes a proclamation, we're going to end this DEI stuff. But how much is actually happening there? I wouldn't hold my breath. Now, I think the lesson to take here from this, because this guy took a high position here, and it obviously he understood the agenda, the university. Like I say, I mean, I don't think the guy's dumb. Because he looked and he understood the agenda that the university had, and he played that agenda. You know, that takes a certain amount of cleverness. You might say it's immoral, yes, and whatnot. But, I mean, he understood, and he was right. The agenda, the university, they worked not to, cover up their embarrassment. They worked to protect this guy. Now, this is a prominent position, and by that very fact, leads itself to more scrutiny. So what can we learn here? If you're working at a position, you're trying to get a position that's not going to have that much scrutiny, you know, maybe you could learn a thing or two from this guy. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were talking about they were going to apply for this job, and they said they have a hard time when they apply for a job. I said, well, why is that? And they said, well, you know, and this is a person getting up in years. And they said, you know, back in the day, I actually dropped out of high school, you know, and, you know, it's always when I have to put down there that I dropped out of high school and didn't finish high school, you know, that, you know, a lot of times I won't get a call for an interview for that. And I looked at them, and I said, why are you putting that down? And they were like, well, what do you mean? I said, just put down you graduated. You know what year you would have graduated, just put you graduated that year. I said, they're not going to check. When was the last time you applied for a job and you put down where you graduated high school? They went and called your high school to see if you, they don't, they're not going to check. And a lot of positions, they may require a degree. There was a, and you may remember this, Finn, there was a quasi scandal a while back. And I think it was people in some government positions, and they'd been in these positions for years. And it turned out they'd bought their degree online from some university that sounded real, but it wasn't. They just bought a degree for like $200, and some guy from India or something printed him out a degree and mailed it to him. And when he filled out his application, he's like, yeah, I have a such and such degree from the university of what's happening now. And they hired him. And, you know, these were pretty high up positions. And it was years later, I'm sure he got into a squabble with somebody, and they started digging. And there was a kind of a little mini scandal over the fact they found out all these different people were, you know, staffing these positions with these made up degrees. And what's funny is there was no argument that they were doing a good job. These people were actually doing a decent, competent job. Nobody had complaints that they were incompetent. But the whole thing was they didn't have the right piece of paper. My point here is, you know, depending on, you know, if you're going to apply for a job as a park ranger and they say you have to have a degree in such and such, more than likely there's a chance they're not going to check. And what's the worst thing that's going to happen if they do? They're going to check and say, oh, well, we couldn't find anything on this, so you're not going to get hired. Hey, put yourself in the running. In other words, we can learn from our character here. He just made the gamble, and he got to be a professor and celebrated for what, 3+ years, you know? Hey, I mean, you know, learn to play the game, because if you're still back here playing by the rules, you're the fool, because this is the way things work. These degrees don't actually have any real value. And I think we will move to a point at some point to where, you know, real employers, because the economy's so fake now, we're going to have to get past the fake economy. That's all going to have to burn up and go away at some point. But when real economy starts coming back to the surface, I think less emphasis is going to be put on college degrees, and more will eventually at some point be put once again on competence. But, you know, hey, maybe I'm being a little too optimistic.
Well, they're talking about going back to apprenticeships here now, because these degrees weren't worth enough, and we need people that know how to do tradespeople's work, which isn't going to be taken over by AI. So we're already moving back to that over here. The Under Fire academic rejected this characterization and said any similarity was down to his autistic learning style. Yes, because he also claims to be autistic. That's another diversity box to tick there. Cambridge itself was also punchy in its response and decried a vile campaign to undermine his credibility. Yet the university is said to have suffered an internal revolt by staff who demanded an investigation. And just hours after Cambridge and Ardes Jesus College said they were launching an inquiry, he had tendered his resignation. The university said the University of Cambridge has begun an investigation following new information about Professor Arday's qualifications and honorary appointments. New information, they say. I mean, people have been saying this for years, yet they've just been ignoring it. And their response has been exactly what it says here. Oh, it's a vile campaign to undermine his credibility. It's just racists that are coming out with this stuff. They just don't like the color of his skin. They just want to attack him. Now, these are the sort of responses that you get when you point out that the emperor wears no clothes. And I like the fact that they literally had to be forced to do this by an internal revolt. So that their own staff were demanding this. And I guess they couldn't just sack all of them. And now they've been forced to investigate it. And it's a good job they are investigating it. And it's a good job that it's being talked about. And really, we should be looking at things like this. And we should be saying, well, shouldn't we be looking at these important positions like air traffic controller, like surgeon and doctors, important roles, engineers, people that build bridges, for instance? Shouldn't we be looking at all of these and checking that we don't have diversity hires in these really important positions that could cause a lot of harm to human beings if they make mistakes? I mean, that's what we really should be doing, but I don't think that's going to happen because of this. And I think what you were talking about there, Grandpa, I seem to remember it. I think there was, I think it was a doctor or a surgeon that had some Mickey Mouse degree that from a university that didn't even exist. And I think they actually hadn't had any complaints against them either. I think that might have been what you were talking about rather than a politician. I might be wrong. Any thoughts on this revolt that Cambridge had amongst its academic staff?
Well, I hate to be that guy, but there's not going to be an investigation. Why? Because, again, Professor Arday here just made another big brain move. See, he did something smart. He resigned. Why was that smart? Because the university doesn't want to do an investigation. If he insisted on staying, they were going to be forced to do some kind of investigation. And even though, obviously, up to this point, they've been bending over backwards to cover for this guy, including, you know, we've got the police being called on somebody. There's limits to that. Since he resigned, there will be, I 100%. There's not, I can guarantee you there will be no investigation. It works over here. What happens over here with the police, for instance, you'll have a cop that gets caught, for instance, on body cam and, you know, just doing something gross, violation of policy, you know, violating people's rights, you know, get some guy in cuffs and then beats the shit out of him or something. And find, you know, and it goes public. It gets public. And maybe there's a YouTube video of it or something. And finally, the police department will cover for him as long as they can. But when they can no longer cover for him, they will announce that there's going to be an internal affairs investigation. Well, what the cop will do is he resigns. Well, when he resigns, he's no longer obligated to cooperate with the internal investigation. So in other words, they can't call him in to testify or anything like that. So the IA investigation disappears. He resigns and he goes over to the police department in the town next door and gets hired on with them. And so this is what this guy, this is a big brain move. I'm not even being sarcastic. He's resigned. So there's not going to be an investigation. Why investigate a guy who's not here anymore, right? So he's resigned and he's going to move on and he'll go to another university, not Cambridge, or he'll go somewhere else and he'll continue to game the system. That was a smart move. He's resigned. The investigation goes away. Is if he would have kept staying, the investigation could lead to some more uncomfortable point. By resigning, the investigation will die on the vine. The story will die down. And he'll go slide in somewhere else with a quite impressive resume. Not a lot of people can claim they were a professor at Cambridge for 3 years. So he'll slide into another position, maybe not quite as prestigious, but he's still going to keep working this system. And he'll start all over from scratch.
Will he retain his qualifications, though? I mean, I know he's resigned as a professor, but they might still investigate his thesis for plagiarism, which they should have done in the first place.
No. They're not going to do that. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on. Do my Joe Biden voice. Come on, man. No, this will die on the vine. The only reason there's an investigation is because of the public. It's got some play in the media. But now he's resigned, there's no story anymore. And this will just go away. I 100% guarantee it.
When you hear about the tall tales that he's told, I mean, it's amazing that this has gone on for so long, basically. Beyond the question over Arday's doctoral thesis, various allegations about his probity include that the former professor had claimed that Arday was an honorary professor at Durham University. The university is reported to have denied this. The University of Glasgow, Ohio State University in the US, and Nelson Mandela University in South Africa are also said to have denied that he was a visiting professor. And there are footnotes for all of this as well in the article. So these are established facts here, effectively. So he was saying that he was already a professor at Durham, who never heard of him, I guess, said that he'd visited these other universities, who also said, no, he's never been a visiting professor there, claimed to have published a book called Being Young, Black and Male, Challenging the Dominant Discourse, with the distinguished publishing house Palgrave Macmillan, and used the alleged existence of this book in his own promotional material. It is stated that while there may have been a plan to write and publish such a book, that never transpired. Of course, you can just look at the title there and you can see what sort of degree that he had, Being Young, Black and Male, Challenging the Dominant Discourse. So basically all the top woke categories there. Let's have a go at men, blacks, let's elevate blacks, and being young and challenging the dominant discourse. Again, that would have been an anti-masculinity book. Claimed to have published a book called Considering Racialized Contexts in Education, Using Reflective Practice and Peer Mentoring to Support Black and Ethnic Minority Educators. It's just a word salad, really, isn't it? Full of all these politically correct terms. Again, it is possible such a book was planned, but it never came to fruition. And again, it is alleged the theoretical work was portrayed as a genuine past achievement. So it seems he has a difficulty separating fact from reality here. He thinks about writing something and then he tells people that it's already been written and published. Questions raised over claimed past charitable work are said to have led to changing stories from Arday, including his part in raising over £5 million for charity through exceptional and world-class feats of ultra-marathon endurance running and through alleged and unproven trips to Africa for clean water projects. This is where he claimed to have run 600 miles in 6 days, which is, I don't think it's humanly possible, to be honest. Claimed to have been posted a severed pig's head. He did not report this to the police at the time, nor take any photograph of it, nor tell anyone else about it. He claims to have later reported it to police and that an investigation took place, but both the Metropolitan Police and a butcher that was allegedly investigated denied any knowledge. And this is typical. We often see this with ethnic minorities. They will claim that these awful things were actually done to them, but there's never any proof that they were actually done to them. Claimed to have been posted bullets and physically threatened by a masked intruder at his building in the University of Cambridge on two occasions, including at knife point. Again, Arday did not see fit to report this to the police or to tell his colleagues, and there is reportedly no security footage of the incidents either. He claimed to have featured in a prominent BBC television programme that was in actual fact broadcast before he was born. He claimed that police officers were sent after a British journalist researching Professor Arday to tell them to back off their investigation. That seems a little bit confusing here. That police officers were sent after a British journalist researching Professor Arday to tell them to back off their investigation. They effectively investigated them for hate crimes. That's what they did. They went after an academic and investigated him for hate crimes on the say-so of Professor Arday. I mean, it's quite unbelievable that he can say all these things over the past 3 years. It's quite obvious that he's just making this stuff up. And yet nobody can criticize him because he's immune to all criticism. Because if you do criticize him, you'll be accused of being a racist. I mean, that's the situation that we've ended up in, I think. Grandpa, what do you make of these tall tales?
Well, people need to reread this the next time, if you're listening to this, the next time you're sitting down and agonizing over writing your resume, you should reread. You should read this story. What this guy did is when you look at the stuff he put down, he knew what they wanted to hear. He, you know, he's doing his resume and he knows what the university wants to hear. This is the stuff they want to hear. Again, nobody uncovered this till after he got the job. And so he looked and he understood what they wanted to hear. And so that's what he wrote his resume. Yeah, he made it all up. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter until it got into the press. And he probably, you know, kind of has a contentious personality and people don't like the guy. And so, you know, it got into the press and started getting some, you know, some public heat. But for most people, it's not going to happen. So next time you're sitting around agonizing over, you know, how you can make your resume look the best, maybe you should take a lesson from this guy. He figured out what they wanted to hear, and that's what he put in his resume. And again, they didn't check. This, if they were checking his resume before hiring him, they would have uncovered all of this right away, but they didn't check. And this is for a university professorship at a prestigious quote-unquote university. So just figure out what they want to hear and put that in. They read through his resume and they said, my gosh, this guy's a godsend. This is what we've been looking for. This guy is what we've been looking for. He checks every single box. Well, of course, because he was smart enough to figure out what they wanted to hear, what they wanted to see, and he gave them that. And as soon as they saw it, they jumped all over it. I said, you know, what kind of competence is it their human resources department, you know, the people that do the hiring here? What kind of incompetent idiots do they have there? They have ideological idiots. They want to check these boxes. They want to hear it. They want to see these things. They want to feel these feels. And this guy fed them exactly what they wanted. Don't talk about investigations. There should be an investigation into their human resources, who does their hiring, and who didn't look at this and go, some of this sounds kind of outlandish. Maybe we should look into it. He gave them what he understood what they wanted and gave them exactly what they wanted. And when they saw it, they bit on it. They bit on it like a fish biting a lure. They saw what they wanted to see. And my gosh, they couldn't hire this guy fast enough. Of course, they didn't check because they saw what they wanted to see. This guy figured out what they wanted to see, and that's what he wrote in the resume. And it didn't matter how outlandish it was because he gave them what they wanted to see. So if you're filling out a resume for a job, figure out what they're wanting and get that in your resume. Because if you do a good enough job, there's a chance that they're just going to bite. They're going to say, this is exactly what we're looking for. And the human resources people, they want to hire somebody and move on so they can go back to checking Facebook or TikTok or whatever, not having to actually do any work. That can all work in your favor. It certainly worked in this guy's.
Well, this reminds me of another case, actually. And it may be that they did actually look at his resume and they did think that this is all questionable. This sounds like it was made up, but they chose to ignore it. What makes me think that is there was a news story a while back, and it was about the number of black police officers with criminal records in the Metropolitan Police. And there was one there who had a criminal record for child abuse, rape, and this was flagged up to the people that were hiring. And it was then passed to the Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Board. And they said, oh, no, that doesn't matter. We'll just take him on. We've got to get a certain number of black people in the police. And because of that, we had black police officers being hired that were actually rapists. So it makes me think that they may well have realized that he was a fantasist and wasn't telling them the truth. But what was more important to them was to get their quota of black people at university and, if possible, find one that they could make into a professor. So they could have the youngest black professor at Cambridge. So it may be that they did know all this, but they chose to ignore it. I mean, if you're on a diversity, equity and inclusion board and you're going to ignore the fact that somebody applying to be a policeman is convicted of rape and child abuse, And I mean, that's far more serious than lying to become a professor. If that's the sort of thing these diversity, equity and inclusion boards will do, then they may well have done exactly the same thing here. And they may have had questions, but they just didn't ask those questions because it was more important to them to get more black people at university. Critics have noted, while questions have hitherto been raised over Arday himself, the profound questions are now hanging in the air for the University of Cambridge itself. How it came to hire a prominent professor without scrutinising his CV and claimed achievements, and then dismissed all criticism, even as alleged evidence mounted. Former Cambridge College master Roger Mosey wrote in The Times that events had revealed to the outside world a fault line apparent to insiders for some years on social justice activism within the university. So this is saying that this is something that is going on in the university that they have noticed to do with all of this promotion of diversity. The Daily Telegraph reflected, meanwhile, Professor Arday's Cambridge career is over, but there remain profound questions for those who appointed him without basic checks on his CV, those who ignored warnings about his work for 3 years, and those who defended him in the face of overwhelming evidence of plagiarism and fabulism. I mean, it really is a case of the emperor wearing no clothes, isn't it? People were trying to point out that the emperor had no clothes on, and the people that were employing the emperor just prosecuted, effectively, the people that were pointing that out and tried to silence them. And he even claimed that he wasn't able to read and write until he finished secondary school, until he was 18, and that then he was a super genius and managed to get his way into Cambridge. I think it's quite clear that the reason why he was allowed into Cambridge in the first place is because he was black, and it's the same reason why he was made into a professor. And I think that they may well have known that he wasn't telling the truth. And I think that they just put him in there anyway. But I guess we won't know because they won't do an investigation. As you pointed out, Grandfather, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Yeah, from his standpoint, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. He gave them what they wanted. And like you said, if they had an inkling that some of this was made up, basically all of it, it didn't matter. You know, he gave them what they wanted and they bit and they went with it. Sure, he's out now, but he resigned. So he's still got all his degrees and he'll go somewhere else. He'll go somewhere else with his resume. Yeah, there should be scrutiny, like I said, on their who's doing the hiring and stuff, but there won't be. I guarantee you. This guy's resigned. The media storm, as soon as the story moves on, because the media cycle is fast, you know, within a week or so, this will be old news and they'll be on to something else. There'll be a new story to talk about. And this guy will he'll ease on in somewhere else and probably play the same game again. But like I said at the beginning, hey, hate the game. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. You know, he sees the game. He understands the game and he's working it to his advantage, you know, and while everybody else, you know, this just tells people that playing by the rules in this society is a fool's game. You know, you just got to figure out the game and figure out how to get ahead. This guy, he figured it out, and I bet it'll continue to serve him well.
He who dares wins, I think, is the moral of this story. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.